Good morning, everybody. My name is Johan. For those of you who are here for the first time or second time and maybe don't know who is who when we come to the stage, we are a multicultural church serving this neighborhood and the whole Metro Denver area. We are, I think it's good to say that we are prideful. Or, yeah, we're proud of who we are. Proud. Yeah, I'm not prideful. Well, some of us are. But we're proud. We're proud of who we are as a church. Planting a church is not something easy. And planting a multicultural church is even more difficult. It's harder. But we feel good what God is doing. Like, and I love that song that says there is a move. This is a move. We need a move. Amen. And that is our prayer. That's our prayer that we all, when we came on Wednesday to pray, and we're just praying, God, please put in people's heart that need for a move of you. We want to be a church that it's not another building, another castle within the kingdom. We want to be a church that is really embracing and engaging in what God wants to do in our community. God doesn't plant churches just because He's bored and he just wants people. Oh, you need a calling. Here you go. You're supposed to be a church planter. There you go. There is an intention behind it. So that's why we started this year sharing about we're more than a religion. We are here because there is a passion behind what we're doing, and we need a move of God for this. We need a move of God to inspire and to spark passion in our hearts. So that's our prayer for all of us and for each other. God, we need a move of you. And if you're kind of wondering, what does that mean? What does that mean that God it can move? Well, it means that his power can come through you and in you and start moving and changing and transforming and making you what he wants you to be, right? So and that changes everything, because when you say, God, I am here, because you have me here and you want to do something, and you just say, God, I just want you to take over my life. And we know and we acknowledge that asking God, we need a move. Maybe for some of you today, that move means that God is going to come and help you in your hard times. Like we were, Mama shared about Yolanda. And some of you might be going through hard times. Maybe you were in a hard place a few weeks ago, a day ago, and maybe you're going to be also. So when we ask God, we need a move of you, we're just, saying, God, we need you in our midst, in good times and bad times. So we want to continue this series of messages on more than religion. It's a passion. Basically, the question behind this, as these messages, is, what is it that moves you? What is it that inspires you to come to church? When you're in Saturday night, you're just watching TV on Saturday night, oh, tomorrow is church. What is in your heart? You feel like a demand? Or you feel, oh, I want to go there. Oh, Taste of Nation. Yes, I'm going to go there. Because there is food. Well, So let us have that question in our mind. When you're thinking on Saturday, what's in your mind, right? What's I'm going to church tomorrow. And what is it? What is moving you to think I'm going to go there, right? Maybe the worship, maybe the message. I hope it's a message. It can be the people, the fellowship, the breakfast that we have at 9:30. What is it that is moving you? Because when you answer that question, you're going to either be in two categories, a religion or a passion, a faith. What is driving you? Oh, yeah, this is what we do always. We go to church. This is what we do. But there's changes, right? There are people we're worshiping and raising their hands, and you see, wow, these people really want to engage with worship, and they're trying to catch up with the songs, English and Spanish, and they're trying to catch up because they want to be engaged. They're not just here because their religious approach to faith is inviting them. It's because their passion for Christ is inviting them. So With that in mind, we're going to continue this message, and the passage for today is from Luke 14. If you brought your phone, just open your Bible on your phone. If you brought a Bible, go to the Bible. But I'm going to ask something, okay? 2 weeks ago, I preached, and there were weird things and stranger things, like the show on Netflix, happening during the service. Mute your phone, please. And whoever is doing the computer, don't mess up with the trying backgrounds because they play some music there. So it's like, what's happening? And I thought it was God speaking to us, but no, it was that guy over there. So just you know, I don't know, if you were here 2 weeks ago, that few things happened. So Luke 14, we're going to start reading on this interesting shocking passage that Jesus shares and Luke is sharing about the experience that Jesus had with the disciples. So verse 25, and it says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus. And turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ear to ear, let them hear. Have ear, touch your ears. Go like this. We all have ears. This is like a really like a fastball from Jesus to the disciples. Who is the audience? Every time that we read the Gospels, we have to always ask the question, who is Jesus talking to? Sometimes he's talking to religious people. Sometimes he's talking to teachers of law. Sometimes he's talking to sick and people. And he seems that this is like a church context. This is like a sermon type of moment for Jesus. Because it says at verse 25, it says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus. Right? And the verse and the passage before that, we see a lot of interaction between Jesus and Pharisees. Pharisees were people, the religious people, and a lot of them, most of them, opposed Jesus. Because Jesus' teaching was not in accord with what they were teaching their people. So basically, that's kind of the context where Jesus was coming from, this moment of many interactions with Pharisees, throwing a lot of questions about resurrection and marriage and all that stuff. And Jesus was just, okay, let's go. Those of you who are following, who want to follow me, let's go. And a lot of people, this is verse 25, large crowds were traveling with Jesus. And then he turned to them and he said something that, if it was not in the Bible, I don't believe a pastor in all the church history would ever say this. We said it because it's here. Jesus said it. This is the type of teaching that no one else would ever been able to say. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, and that word hate there is a hate normal. This is not a suffering type of interpretation. We can't soften that word. It's the literal word for hate, to detest, detestar. So he says, if that's not hate father and mother, wife and children, wow. Brothers and sisters. Surprisingly, he didn't include mother-in-law. That would have been easier. Yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Right? He's saying it's a given. Some of you hate your mother-in-law, so I'm gonna give you the people that you really love, that not in the world you cannot love. And he pointed to the people that we really love no matter what. Right? Unconditional love to these people forever. This is how they saw it in the culture. This is how we see it in our culture. Right? Mom, wife, children, brother and sisters, no matter what type of mom or dad or brother and sister or children, we will always love them. And Jesus said, well, let's deal about that type of love. Let's put attention there. He said, whoever does not carry their own cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. The title of in the passage, the people who translated, Jesus didn't, when he was teaching about this, he didn't say, okay, let me preach and let me give you the title of my message now. And the title that we see here is the cost of being a disciple. That was someone who made that up. That's not in the Bible. I mean, it's a title that someone put there. But I think it's a fair title. However, I changed it. I think my title is better. So whoever translated that should change and put my title. I put it, passionate people pay the price. I think that the idea of how we tackle our approach to faith as a religious act, or as a religious tradition, can be understood and need to be understood from the perspective of paying a price. That is a concept that we don't see here anymore. Because the faith that we are hearing now in our times is a friendly faith. It's a faith that is always all about you and about me, not about God, not about what I have to give to him. It's about what he is supposed to give me in order for me to love him back. It's the opposite of what the Bible teaches. So in order for us to handle and to see whether my faith, my Christianity, what I believe is a religious or a passion, we need to see, okay, am I willing to pay the price? Passionate people pay the price. And this has to do with your salvation. Your salvation is already paid for. It's free. It's already paid for. It's just waiting for you. If you don't have it, it's ready for you. It's more about what happened with your life. And remember, Jesus is talking to whom? People that were following him. People that were at church. You know, Jesus didn't have a church. Church was outside. Whatever moment, it was a church moment for Jesus. And he was just walking and people were following. He said, okay, church service, worship team, they're behind. 3 songs, go ahead, sermon. That's how Jesus did church. Maybe 3 times a day, 4 times a day, we don't know. But he did a lot of those moments where he would just stop and talk to people that were following him. And he said those hard words. What was happening? What was happening? If you go a little bit in your phones, you have to say phones now or your Bible, app in your phones or in your Bible, there is a parable that Jesus was sharing about the great banquet, meaning the moment that we get to heaven, right? And this guy, a parable is a story based on cultural elements that could relate to people. Probably, yes, circumstantially might be true that happened, but probably it's an invention to illustrate a spiritual truth. That's a parable, so we have to read it based on cultural lenses from that time. So he's saying there was a king, and he just wanted to throw a party, and he sent the servants, go and invite people, invite those and invite those, and the answer from the people were really unexpected, saying, I can't, I'm busy. And that's what you read in verse 15 and on until 24. The answers were, I'm busy, I can't come to the banquet right now. I'm busy, I'm not ready, I have something to do, I have something to do, I have something to do. And the king said, you know what? He sent the servant and said, just gather whoever you find and invite the poor. And the poor were and ate the food that wasn't ready for them. Meaning that some of us probably, or some of, I don't know, I want to include myself there. I always try to be general and include myself and be generous in that. But in this one, I won. Some of you might miss the banquet. I don't know. Well, hopefully none of you. But I don't want to include myself in that because I don't want to miss that banquet. So, and the context for the cost of the discipleship teaching is that a lot of the believers or followers of Jesus were saying, maybe this is too much. What Jesus is asking is too much. And Jesus said, well, let me just put it straight forward to you. Unless you're ready to live. And that's what the loving of the father, hating mom and dad and brothers and sister and wife, children mean. And this is very important for us to how to we interpret this. Unless we are ready to give up, right, loyalties, religious loyalties, theological loyalties, ideologies that are rooted in our hearts, connected somehow to traditions in our family, in our culture. Already we're willing to give up and to say, yes, Jesus, I'm all in. And unless we say that, we cannot be disciples. However, you can be a follower of Jesus. Followers, verse 21, 25 says, they were traveling with Jesus. Yes, you can be a follower. You can be saved. But that doesn't mean that you are a disciple. Jesus' expectations is that everyone that he calls to him to eternity will become a disciple. And it's two different things. You can be a follower, but you not necessarily are a disciple. The question is, what do you want to do? And I'm going to try to convince you that it's better to be a disciple. If you are a true follower, but you're not aiming to become a disciple by taking up your cross, by renouncing to any other loyalties, theological ideology, loves to anything, unless you do that, you cannot be a disciple. What does that mean? If you're a follower, but you're saved, there is always going to be something in your heart or your conscience telling you you're not living your faith the right way. Unless you're not willing, unless you're not saying, Jesus, I'm all in. That doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. That doesn't mean that you're going to be holy. Jesus is not talking about that. He's not saying, oh, you have to be perfect before you follow me. No. He's talking about willingness of the heart to renounce, to surrender. If you are a follower and you are a believer and you're going to heaven, but you do not convince and accept and say, I want to be a disciple, probably you're going to be always having internal fights because you're resisting the calling that Jesus put in you. Because you're resisting the desire of the Holy Spirit in you to bring a move, right? This is a move. The Holy Spirit, when he comes to live in someone, he's not going to give more of him to someone than to someone else. Everyone receives an equal portion. What's that portion? The fullness, says the Apostle Paul. The fullness of Christ. But there are people that are following that they don't want to become disciples. They're resisting. And some are even more honest. And maybe that's what Jesus is saying. If you're not ready to give up loyalties, to habits, to style of life, if you're not ready to give up, probably you need to consider what you're doing. And some people are so true about it. They say, I'm not ready to give up my six-pack on Saturday nights. I'm not ready to stop going to, you know, to the club or whatever, dancing. Or I'm not ready for that. I like that stuff. And I can't do it. However, if you accepted Jesus There was a moment. If you had an encounter with Jesus a week ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and your heart in that moment, you opened to him and the Holy Spirit came to you and you said, Jesus, yes, I want you in my life. If the Holy Spirit is truly in you and you're just a follower, I want to say this. You're going to be fighting with your conscience because the Holy Spirit is going to be always pushing for more of you, and there is that tendency to resist. So that's a way to kind of understand whether you are a true believer or not. That sign, that movement of the Holy Spirit is a good thing, whether you are just a follower or a disciple. I don't know if that makes sense. I'm willing to stay long. Oh, we're going to stay longer, Taste of a Nation, if you want to go and talk more about this. But I really want to make sure that you understand. Jesus wants disciples. He wants people that are ready to say, I'm ready to pay the price. What is this price? Passionate people. Passionate people are ready to pay the price. Passionate people say, you know what? I'm going to do it. You think of anything that you have done in your life and that it took effort, it took boldness, it took a sacrifice. Things, little things like losing weight, little things like changing habits of eating, right? Little things like going to the gym every day. There is a price. And you have to pay membership, which is really cheap. But it's what is really expensive is really going there and getting on that machine and start doing it. That is the price. Anything that you want to accomplish in your life has a price. Some of you know my story when I became a believer. I was the first in my family that Jesus found. And when I became a believer, that sounds really prideful, literally. I'm being prideful. My brother was Catholic. All my family was Catholic. And somehow I was the first evangelical. Let's put it like that. And when I decided I want to follow Jesus wholehearted, the entire family, they said, we're done with you. Somehow. They didn't use the words, but the message, their emotional message was that. My dad, I always remember these words. I don't think I'm going to forget, but I know I feel different about them now. My dad said, you decided for your religion. You're now on your own for your life. He stopped paying for my university. And I said, okay, it's on. Thank God that the gospel in that time was so passionate, full of faith and hope, that the messages that I heard from Jesus was, I'm going to take care of you. That's what the pastor would preach. Jesus is with you. Jesus has a calling. Jesus has a purpose. And I was so convinced of that, that even when my dad and my family and my brother, my older brother, he wouldn't talk to me because I became a Christian. And he said, well, I'm so thankful that this message, you need to pay a price. You need to take up your cross. Sadly, we don't hear that message anymore. If you want to be a passionate believer, you need to be willing to pay the price. To go all in with Jesus. He will take care of that. And he is not asking you to be good before he's taking over your life. He's just saying, I just want your heart. Just tell me that you're ready for me. Just tell me that you want me in your life and you will see that I'm going to come. Yes, there is a price. There is a price. You have to turn off the TV to go and pray and seek him more. I have a good friend that he's here visiting us today. In the last 6 months, this was not part of the message, but I'm going to use it as my own experience lately in paying the price. And he came, he's a wonderful, oh my goodness, a mentor. He's like a mentor to me in my spiritual journey. And he came with the idea, let's meet and pray. Let's meet and pray. And we started just praying, and now it's a habit for us. But it's one of those things like it's Friday nights we meet to pray maybe from 8 to something. This we pray on Friday and I fall asleep a few times. And he was like, yes, good. Let's keep doing it. Let's keep doing it. Let's keep doing it. But every Friday, and I'm not lying, I haven't shared that with him, but he's going to hear it now, and then he's going to talk to me during Taste of Nation. Every Friday, I just pray. Before I go to prayer, for an excuse. Does it make sense? That was a joke. Come on, guys. I pray, God, give me an excuse so I don't go to prayer. And I just, you know, I always seek, oh, yes, I'm busy, I'm tired. And every time that I just trying to find that moment of, I don't want to go, I can't go, I'm tired. I just feel the Holy Spirit. It's good. It's good. It's going to be good. I'm going to be there. Just take courage. Don't think of the movie that you can watch Friday night with at home in your bed. Just think of me and you in that moment. And I take courage and say, I'm going to go and to pray. I'm going to go to pray. And we haven't missed one. We have changed a few days and here and there, but it has been so. But it's a price for me because it's not easy. Reading the Bible, praying, that is all. When Jesus was with Mary and Martha, you guys remember that story. Jesus said a powerful word. He said to Martha, what is it? One thing is what? Needed. One thing was necessary for you, Martha. And she figured it out. Talking to Maria. Was just to be with me. So one thing is necessary for us to become passionate people that pay the price. Is what Maria was doing. Being at the feet of Jesus. When we do that, it's over. Everything else is up to him. It's not about being perfect. It's not about being holy and an example to everybody. It's just about being vulnerable and honest before his presence and coming to him. Jesus, here I am. That's why David, the King David, not this one, the King David, was who he was. He was considered a man after God's heart. Because he was vulnerable, he was honest, he was a mess. There were times that he was just a killer and adulterous, but he was honest with God. And that's what God wants. That's how we build passion in our hearts. Where we are willing to surrender to pay the price in little things like our habits, our what we do in our lives. And Jesus ends that passage with two. If you, just think of this. If you're thinking of following me, just think of someone who is going to build a house. And they just bought a lot and they bought a few bricks and they put the bricks. And it's like, people are going to stop by and I'm like, what is this guy doing? What is this? And he's going to laugh at you. That's what happens with many believers. That's why Christianity today is a joke for many out there. Because our witnessing and our following of Jesus is not by paying a price. It's by just saying, oh, I'm a follower. I like that message because the message makes me feel good about my own life. And I feel loved. And yes, we want you to feel loved. But remember, Jesus came full of grace and truth. John 1:13. We need both. And the paying a price is under the truth aspect of Jesus. And then Jesus said, just picture a king. He's going to go to a war. There is a president that needs to hear this message. He's going to a war. Be wise. Don't think that you're going to defeat your enemy that easily. Better talk about peace. If you're not ready, if you don't know, you're going to win this battle. 1-2, that's no good. So just be ready. And go and talk about peace. It's just giving examples of being wise in our decision of following Jesus. It's very easy to get pumped with worship. And oh, wow, I love Jesus. It's very easy. But that's not exactly what Jesus wants from us. Emotional faith lasts this much. It's like emotional love. Well, I mean love, and we're going to get married because we love each other. We need to love each other, but this different meaning to love is the love that is ready to be sacrificial.
to pay the price, to do the hard work that it takes in order to get where we want to be. Passionate people pay the price. Every time that you think of God, what is in your mind? We're going to prepare for worship, to continue worshiping. And as we think through worship of these words of Jesus, unless you hate those things that you love the most, unless you're ready to surrender those loyalties to that type of relationship, unless you're willing, Jesus is not saying, go and hate your mom and then love me. No, he's saying, unless you're willing, unless you're ready to surrender, you cannot be my disciple. The question is, now the ball is in your field, you want to be just a follower, a church member? That's what Jesus was talking to. Or you want to be a disciple? The journey as a disciple is different than the journey as a follower. Journey as a disciple, sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's shocking. But it's so rewarding for the soul, because there is nothing that can change that is more powerful. The peace of mind that comes from knowing that Jesus is pleased and is worshipped with your life. That's what Hebrews says, Hebrews 11:4. Nothing can please God without faith. And those who seek him think that he is there. So we are people that were called to be passionate about him. But this passion is built as we decide in our hearts to pay the price. God bless you.
Let us stand and sing together.